session number 30396, Mr. Jim Dunphy, 305. Now, so what's the next thing you remember? Any more patrols? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, just as it comes, really.
Yeah, I can't remember now. What happened is that, if I remember rightly, I was in support company, and my mate Jive, he got stung by a hornet. His arm really come up, and they said to him about, you know, with that arm like that, you know, good really, you know. Now, we'd been in Korea now, must have been about 3.5 months, and I said to him, no, you know, what we're going to do, they're forming B Company, because that was the only company the Gotham didn't have. We're reforming B Company, and we've decided, you with the arm, you know, you're no good, we're going to send you back. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to go back with him, because, you know, we've been together since we got called up. And they said, oh, fair enough, yeah, okay, you can go back with him. And of course, we got on the back of the lorry, and our attire was not what you call the army. We were filthy looking, our clothes were rotten looking, and then we come down the hill. We were probably stinking a bit as well, because when you're dug in, you don't have a wash, you know. You have a wash, but that's it, you know. And here's this sergeant marching these blokes up and down like a drill parade, you know. And we go, what the bloody hell's happening here, you know. So along we go, and okay, go in there, and your name, your rank, and all that business. Okay, now you're in B Company. Okay, fine. Okay, we're in B Company. Right. So do a bit of marching up and down. Bloody hell, you know. Okay, marching up and down. Right, now, we've done all that marching up and down. Now, we're going to take you places in Korea where battles have been and so on and so on. The trouble with me and Jive have already been there, you know. So, needless to say, now this is just the hill and this is the other hill. Well, yeah, great. We just get up here, okay, yeah, we've been up here. And of course, me and Jive weren't terribly keen about that, because we'd already been up and down the bloody hill, so we didn't fancy it, but there you are. We had to go, so, okay, we went. So there we are, we got into B Company now, okay, we've been there a couple of weeks, I think. Right, B Company...
You're no longer a machine gunner.
No, B Company's fine. We're now going to go over and get on this other hill. I can't remember what that hill was. But I do remember it, specifically because the sergeant, who'd only been in Korea about 3 weeks, I suppose, if that, he went up the hill, the same as us, and when he got up the hill, he saw all these flying ants. Great masses of them. So what did the sergeant do? He pulled out his phosphorus grenade, and he threw it at the ants, and he went, grenade, and everybody got down. But the grenade didn't go off. So the sergeant thought to himself, well, I'm not going to go over and check it. The best thing to do is get another grenade. So he got another phosphorus grenade. He went, grenade! But as he threw that one, the first one went off. Caught him right on the bleeding arm. And we heard afterwards he had to lose his arm in Japan. Because you know what phosphorus is. You can't get it off. You know, it's a bit like napalm. You know, it sticks. And so he'd only spent about 3 weeks in Korea. A month at the most, I suppose. I don't know, really. And he ended up not doing anything, going to Japan to get his arm fixed, you know. So, but of course, me and Jai, we raced into all the dugouts to get the food that was left, because a lot of the soldiers they wouldn't eat this stuff, you know. The Americans said, yeah, you know, I don't like that, but we liked it, and we knew people that leave their stuff. So we go in, we grab all the food we can, and we used to keep our cigarettes in an ammunition box, which had 250 rounds, and we used to keep our fags in that, you know, what was like that. So that was pretty reasonable on there. And
when did you get a shell fire? Because you got a shell fire sometime.
Yeah, what happened is that we went on this long recce, and it was...
Oh, tell us about that. This was with B
Company. Yeah, we went over the engine on this long recce, and we were told, you know, don't make a lot of noise, take it easy. And we was walking along, and we... farther over, is it looked like, isn't that the enemy over there, sir? Looked like these seven blokes with guns on. They went behind this hill, and these seven farmers come out the other side. So, but it was too far away for us to bother about it, so we didn't bother. Anyway, we're creeping along. On sudden, we come along this... Who do we come along? Brigadier Brody. And what is he doing? He's shooting bloody pheasants, or pigs or something. Wild pigs, I don't know what he was shooting. Anyway, he only had three blokes with him, you know. And he says to us, be careful, he said, the communists are just over there, about half a mile away. And I thought, you know, what's he shooting? I mean, he had a double barrel shotgun, you know, he was like, where's the pheasant or the pig or whatever it was he wanted, you know. The communists are over there, about half a mile away. Oh, so be careful. Yeah, oh, all right, thanks. So off we crept, got down. We're coming along, and next thing happens, whiz, the old mortars come whizzing over. And of course, our sergeant, he dashes for cover. He gets in this hole, and we're looking at him. You can, all he's got is his bum stuck out, and we're all laughing because we're stupid. We don't realise that these mortars can kill. Well, we do, but it, you know, we just saw the funny thing. You know, he said, well, what's happened to him? Look, I can only see his arse there. And the mortars were going boom, boom, boom. And our second lieutenant, he went down the front, and he got on this bit of a ridge, and he went, where are you? Bang! His bloody water bottle got shot. The bastards, they've shot my water bottle, he goes. And one of our blokes got shot in the neck. Just missed his artery, you know, he's bleeding all over the place, you know. So they said, better retire, because it looked as if there was too many of them, so we retired. That was one time.
Were you nervous under fire? I mean, you know, because people always wonder what they're going to be, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, how did you feel under fire?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe I was too silly. I hadn't been in the army long enough to realise that you can easily get shot. Mind you, this bloke getting his neck shot out, it did sort of tend to worry a bit, you know what I mean? And then, of course... Yeah, the other time is that we went on a really long recce. I must have missed out something here, because I remember we went on this recce and I was with machine guns. So this must have been early, much earlier on that I completely missed.
Okay, well let's do that. Let's run halfway.
And we went on this long, it must have been like 5 miles over the Indian. And we set up our machine guns on this ridge. We went down this hill along a bit and up this other hill, and we set up our machine guns on that hill, and we were looking through the rangefinder, and he said, yeah, look at that, he said, commie having his lunch there, and we're a long way away, he is. So our officer called up the old barrage, dropped a few down there, you know, and we watched him through the rangefinder, and he was eating, and on said, whiz, down he went down the hole, you know, and you see all the boom, 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 like that. So, well, that, you know, and what happened is that the assault pioneers were down on the other side of the hill blowing up these bunkers, right? So it didn't make any difference to us, you know, that's fine. So then for some reason or other, which I can't remember why, the officer said, we're going to move from this position and we're going over to that position. Only about like maybe 30 feet away, so that was fine. Okay, we moved everything over. I don't know why, maybe he got a message or something, I don't know. Anyway, there we were, and that day I was carrying the can of water for the medium machine gun, and I also had a rifle, you know. So there we are, still sort of not taking a great deal, well I suppose we were, but nothing spectacular. And the officer thought, I think I hear something, he said to the sergeant. He said, go over there where we were in the first place and see if you can see anything. So over the sergeant goes, and he gets over to our old position, still thinking it's the assault pioneers, and he looks over and the communists are coming up the hill. So he's got his Sten gun on him, so he fires at the first boat, it goes bang, don't work. So the communist gets his potato masher out and slings at him, that lands by his feet, and that don't work either. So he runs back saying, come here, you know. So the old machine guns turn around to get him when they come up the hill, and up the hill they come. We was blasting away at him on that, and I was shooting my rifle at him, And this boat suddenly come up so near the machine gun that when the machine gun sort of tried to get round to get him, he jumped over, or he sort of leapt in the air. And I think about three of us shot him at the same time. So, although he missed that. And the thing is then, because we were blasting away, I think they must have thought, there's more of them than we think there. So they either regrouped downstairs or what. But it left one of them moaning. And the wireless operator, he'd left something, or he had to go over there for something or other. And he said he went over there and the bloke was moaning. He had this big part of his skull coming out, and he finished him off, you know, because he's definitely going to die, but he finished him off. So then he come back, and the officer says, okay, we've got to get down the hill and away. And they stayed up the hill while we went down the hill, across the bit, and as we were going up the other hill, so the bullets were going chum, 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 into the ground all around us. And I felt sure I was going to get shot in the back, you know. I was so sure I was going to get shot in the back. In fact, funny enough, when I get sunburned, I've got a patch on my back that never gets sunburned. It's white. And funny enough, I know you won't think this, it looks a bit like the map of England. People have told me that I can't see it, you know. But I was sure that day that's where I was going to get. And when we got away in the carriers, you know, on the back of these carriers, they had this, like, a spigot for putting your machine gun in without the tripod.
These are Bren carriers, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're sort of an open-top one, you know. And you put this your machine gun into this spigot, and then you fire at it. But the trouble is that you're going along like this. You know what I mean, over the hill there. It wouldn't matter. You could shoot, I thought, but you wouldn't be able to hit anything, you know what I mean? So that was just definitely, I thought I was a goner that day, without a doubt.
So that was earlier, that was when you were in the Vickers?
Yeah.
Anything else, getting back to when you were B company then?
No, the main thing I suppose really is where were we? We had the Graves Commission come along and started pulling.
Tell me about that.
Started pulling up bodies. We were just having our dinner, I think, if I remember rightly, but, you know, just one of those things. We see this bloke, obviously he'd been kneeling, firing down like that, and he got killed and covered, you know, and had a bit of a job pulling the body out.
They were looking for bodies?
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. Bit like the Blitz, I suppose, in a way, you know. But, you know, once you've seen a body, you've seen a body, you know. And as I say, when I first went out, there's a load of bodies all over the place. But the worst one was that mule stinking, you know. But I've got a strong stomach.
What were your latrines like? You should have asked you about that.
The latrines?
Yeah.
Just a hole in the floor, you know. And
you sit on?
Yeah, you just... I can't remember sitting on anything. I was just drop your trousers and do the works, and that's it, you know.
Was there an area where you're supposed to do it, you know?
I can't remember. But I should imagine so. It'd be a bit further away from where everybody is. But,
and what about the cold? I mean, you went there...
No, I wasn't there. No, my brother was, but I wasn't.
You were
no.
there during the summer, weren't you?
We left there in November. And we went back to Aeslon.
So you missed that. So what was the weather like while you were there?
Oh, really hot, you know. And, you know, hot most of the time, apart from, well, even in the monsoon it was hot, you know, because it was really hot, you know what I mean?
And what was the monsoon like? Well, I mean, you told us a bit about one particular storm, but what was it like generally?
Well, you couldn't do a lot with, when the monsoon comes down, that was it. You know, if you get undercover, you get undercover, and if you can't get undercover, you're going to get soaked to the skin, you know, and you just let it dry on you. I mean, when you're in a position like that in a dugout, you don't take your boots off, because if you do, you might get caught with your boots off, you know what I mean? So you can't really afford to do that, and consequently, when it comes to washing, it's just a wash of the hands, a wash of the face, that's it, you know. And I suppose that, you know, technically we all stunk like rotten, probably, but...
Were there any lice?
Any?
Lice. Body lice.
Don't think so. I can't remember having any lice, but I suppose it must have been, I would think.
Were you not able to wash at all? I mean, could you, no showers come up?
No, blimey, no. The main thing I remember is these bloody Southern Irish blokes drinking petrol.
And why would they do that?
Yeah, they used to get this one bottle of Nippon beer. And hopefully we got one of them a day, but not always. So there wasn't any spirits. And now some people were squeezing out the wood alcohol of these little burners and using that. But we'd heard that a couple of people went blind drinking that. So I would never do it anyway. You know, I was never a great drinker. I don't mind a pint occasionally, but some of them are obviously, you know.
Well, petrol's not. That won't make you drunk.
Well, I suppose if you mix the petrol with the beer, you know what I mean? They used to come round, they used to say, are you drinking your beer? And you say, well, no, probably not. Okay, you mind giving it to me? All right, Alex, yeah, I don't want it. And I suppose they go around collecting how much beer they got and then get some of the old petrol and mix it with the beer. And maybe it'd give them a bit of a kick. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, what effect did it have on them?
Well, some of them would be staggering around, you know, especially in the monsoon where the mud is, you know, you put one foot down and you go down about this much and you're lucky if you can get your boot back up again, you know, in places where there's been a lot of sort of traffic in that, you know, it's been crunched up and then the rain comes down and it's like that, pulling your feet out with difficulty in places, you know.
The mud was a real problem, was it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So,
how deep would it get?
Oh, I would think, you know, about certainly up to about there.
So 6 inches.
In cases, yeah, at least, yeah. And of course, when you were digging holes, some places weren't too bad, but some of them it was really rocky. You know, you had practically bust the spade to get into it. Some of it, you know, you'd be thinking, bloody hell, you know, can't I move down a bit or round a bit or get away from this sodding rock, you know? But eventually, you know, you get into it. So
what about contacts with home? I mean, parcels, letters, that kind of thing?
No. As I say, my mother was a widow, you know, and she's still looking after 4 children back in Lancashire, you know. I did send her a card saying, I'm all right, Jim. And I sent her another one about a few months later, ditto.
But she didn't write to you?
No. Some of them got letters, but it never bothered me, you know. My family wasn't great in sending letters or postcards or anything else. So once you've flown the nest, you get on with it, you know.
Anything else you remember before we wind up on Korea? Any just things that happened that you remember?
Not really, no. I used to certainly... have a bit of target practice with me with a couple of bayonets on the. That's when I found out them little mounds that they had bullies inside. I used to stick a can up there and go back in it and really let the tin have it, you know.
This is your old thing with knives again.
Yeah.
So tell me about the throwing bayonets.
Well, you know, I do have a knack about throwing things, you know, and I mean, don't forget our bayonets were them round looking things about this long. And like a spike more than a bayonet, you know. Mm-hmm. You could get the hang of it, but I also had an American bayonet from a M3 carbine. And I also had another bayonet, an 18-inch bayonet as well. Can't remember where I got that.
So what would you do with them?
Just practice throwing them, really. Well, there's nothing else to do, you know. I get the tin out on the old mound, and somebody once told me, he said, you know where you got that tin? I said, yeah. He said, somebody's buried in there. I said, oh, what? Buried like that in that mound? They said, yeah, they buried him standing up or something, or sitting up, or you know, one or the other. And I said, oh, well, you know, good luck to him, yeah.
And how accurate were you? Did you throw them accurately?
I was pretty.
You said you threw them around a friend once.
Yeah, I did. My mate
was
Jive.
That out there, or was that?
No, that was. Funny enough, that was when we got back, I think, yeah, because when we come off the hill, I think it was a Welsh
so
regiment.
Nothing else up on the hills?
No, not really, no.
You didn't come under any shell fire any more times?
Occasionally we got shell fire, but not so much when we were on the hills, more when we were going out recceing, you know. You get, you know, incoming mail, as I say. And you'd see the Americans diving down and putting their old napalm down, see the communists screaming on with the old napalm flying, burning up, and he's running sort of, I don't know, try and get some water or what, you know, but no chance. You know, he's going to burn to death, and that was it. And we were quite happy that was one less that was going to kill us, so we didn't mind. And then we come back.
So there's Chinese shell fire, US firing napalm occasionally.
Yeah.
But they didn't land near you much.
Any? No. As I say,
And they didn't attack any of the hills.
Most of the hills I was on, they always had this big American gun down the bottom, firing over it into the communist lines, you know. Because, but you could soon go to sleep, you know. Although you hear bang, bang, bang. It didn't make a lot of difference.
Did you get any local lead while you were there? Because later on...
I didn't, funny enough. My mate did.
But you did. Why not?
I don't know why. I think what happened is I was unlucky. I think at the time he had me down as a runner in that B company. And I thought I was going to get a 3-day leave, but in actual fact I never. But my mate got a 3-day leave.
Was that to Japan or the local?
No, local.
No one got Japan then?
No.
So what did you have to do as a runner then?
Just run messages in case the cable went out. You know, they had usually a cable running here and there. And they always wanted somebody to be a runner in case that went out. So, you know, they'd say, you know, you want to be a runner? Yeah, okay, you know, what do I have to do? Well, if the wireless goes down or the cable goes down, you have to run from here to there or from this position to that position and let them know what's happening or what the orders are. And it never happened because I was never on a hill that got attacked.
What did you think of your officers? You know, do you remember their names?
We had what was his name? Harding, Captain Harding. Now, he'd been in the main one, you know, he seemed quite a decent bloke, you know. Then we had a Captain Major as well. He was more, I would say he was like, he wasn't middle class, he was a bit higher than middle class, if you know what I mean, the way he spoke, you know. But normally...
Were they good officers? I mean, did they treat you well? Did they know what they were doing, you know?
No, I'd say occasionally you get... They'd want to say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. But I think mainly what happened is that they would tell the sergeant and then he'd tell you, you know. So maybe he could spill it out a bit better than the officers, you know, once they told him what they were doing. And, of course, as I say, once we come off the hills, we went back to the A echelon. And that's when
what's the A echelon? Just explain that again.
That's A echelon's are sort of the main supply depot that supplies B echelon with the food and ammunition and all that so that they can get you Gothia nearer. But A echelon's right back. I mean, me and my mate, the naffy wagon never come for some reason or other once, and we were run out of fags, and we decided to go back to A echelon, so hitching a lift with the Americans. I always get on really well with Americans, I don't know why, you know, I always think they're a bit loud, but, you know, so what? And they give us a lift, and they were telling us they get free cigarettes, free toothpaste, they get so much free stuff you wouldn't believe it, you know, and we went back to A.S.L.M., got some fags and hitchhiked back to our position, you know.
Well, this time you were going back to A echelon permanently.
Oh yeah, well, permanently. Yeah,
you were going back from the hill.
Yeah, we met Ridgway there, you know, and he gave us the old.
Who's Ridgway?
General Ridgway, the American commander. He gave us the blue sash from the American citation.
Tell us about that.
Well, we went back there and got in various groups and that, and of course A company. It was a citation from the American government for the way that the Gloucesters had performed on that big battle. And that allowed the Gloucester Regiment to wear this blue, like a bit of a flag here. And that was from the Americans.
Is it a big do, the ceremony, or was it just...
Yeah, fair do. They had all the photographers in there, and the main people who'd been in the big do were A Company. That was the, like, the older soldiers who'd been there for the big do, you know. And they photographed everybody. In fact, I think I'm in a photo somewhere there, and my wife keeps telling me, oh, that's you, but I don't know. I don't think it is, but she says, that's definitely you. Oh, I don't know. So
what
yeah.
happened next then?
Well, they stuck us on a boat, and this...
So that was it, really?
Yeah, yeah. Once he'd done his, all his speech about, you know, how grateful he was and all that, and the American people, and so and so, so and so. And we award you the... What's it? My wife sent it away to the American consul for a copy of it. You know, and she got a copy of it as well. So, got the citation. And we went down... And got on the boat, and this the big.
Now, which boat is this?
I think it was the Empire Ferry again. Yeah, in fact, I'm sure it was. And we had this great big American Negro band giving us the old, and when the Saints go marching in, all that busy. You know, they were really good, they were really blasting away. And off we sailed back home.
This is November 51.
Yeah, November. Yeah, November 51.
Now, what was the trip home? Are you going back to England, were you?
Yeah, we went back to England.
The whole unit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
all what was the trip like?
It was similar to the first lot, really. Another big gambling casino. Do like a game of cards in the army and all that, you know, the crown and anchor and everything else. Matlows were doing well there, I think. And, of course, we got to Southampton and... The customers didn't even check us because, you know, the Gloucester Regiment, you know, they had all the old, you know, the cameras were there and everybody, you know.
Did you have any contraband or?
Yeah. I couldn't afford it. But I heard a couple of the blokes got in a couple of weapons, you know, took them apart and stuck them in there.
Where'd you go from there? You landed?
Yeah, we landed and then we went to a place called Netheravon, off the Salisbury Plain. And
was that where you were based?
Yeah, Netheravon.
Is it just Netheravon camp or was it a...
It was a camp, big camp, yeah. And
what was life like there? That must have been a bit different.
Well, we was only there for about a day or so and then we got a month's leave. And I went home on a month's leave. And while I was home on a month's leave, my brother was home on a fortnight leave prior to going to Korea.
And this was what? This was over Christmas, was it?
Well,
was it over Christmas?
Yeah, over the Christmas period, yeah. Because when we got there, we left in November, and we got there just before Christmas. So we just had time, quickly, to get in, get installed, get your travel vouchers, get everything, and then onto the train, and then away, you know. And, you know, go home and see the family, and say hi, and that, yeah. Then stay there for a month, and run out of money.